22nd, Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Thus far the reading of God's holy and eternal word. Last week, as we began Passion Season, we heard about the thirsting Savior, the fifth word that was spoken on the cross that came out of the lips of the parched Redeemer. I thirst. And we saw, didn't we, that Christ indeed was physically thirsty. We saw that he thirsted that Scripture would be fulfilled. And we saw that he thirsted for restored communion with his Father, because he had just cried previously, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But this morning hour, with God's help, we will consider a longing, thirsting soul, also who cries out to his heavenly Father for spiritual refreshment. And we will consider, dear congregation, how this also ought to be our spiritual posture at the time of the Lord's Supper as well. And so the words of our text you can find in the first two verses of Psalm 42. As the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Our theme is the longing, thirsting soul. Three thoughts with God's help. First, we will see its real need. Secondly, its exclusive desire. And then thirdly, at the table, we will consider how this suffering Savior made this possible. So the longing, thirsting soul, its real need, its exclusive desire, and how the suffering, passion Savior made this possible. Psalm 42, dear congregation, is a very familiar and a very precious psalm for the church of God. But before we look at the actual verses of our text this morning hour, we want to first look at the heading above this psalm. Oftentimes we do forget that the headings of the psalms also were inspired by the Lord as well. And that's one of the reasons, as a side note, why oftentimes the heading of a psalm is the first verse in the Dutch translation of the Bible. But there's three things that we ought to note about the heading of this psalm: to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. First of all, we note that it's addressed to the chief musician. Oftentimes, the words of a psalm were written by a psalmist, and those words would then be forwarded onto those who would pair them to music, and eventually those songs, therefore, would be sung. And here the psalmist, who is very likely David, writes these words and he addresses them to the chief musician. He didn't address them just to any musician, but he sent these words on and addressed them to the chief musician, because David knew also that these were very special words. These were very touching words. These are very precious words. Words that speak of great emotion, great joy, great pain, great longing, great thirsting. And these words, it seems, touch the heart and soul of a people like no other words seem to. In fact, if you look particularly in the Dutch tradition once again, there's hardly a Dutch music CD or tape that you can pick up that doesn't have some kind of improvisation of Psalm 42. And that is because, dear congregation, the very wording of this psalm touches deeply the emotion of a person. Because it speaks of great pain, great disquieted souls within us, but then heights of great joy. Hope thou in God. God is the health of our countenance and our God. It speaks about the whole range, therefore, of human emotions, and it comes down to touch us at our very deepest point, as it were. It's addressed to the chief musician. And then, too, it's a maskil, it's noted as. Now, there are 13 such psalms in the Book of Psalms that are noted as maskil psalms. This is actually a somewhat of a difficult word to translate, but this psalm has, this term rather, has within it the idea of wisdom, of instruction. And so, this psalm is also a psalm of instruction. And we can glean from that God not only instructs us, congregation, directly with His Word, by the power of His Spirit as well, and not only does He instruct us also through providential circumstances in our lives, where we learn many things as He guides us according to the principles of His Word, but God also instructs us with music that contains a message. Here, this psalm as well, it's been sung throughout the centuries, and it speaks to us greatly, doesn't it? There's many songs that do that. Think of John Newton's well-known song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. It speaks about the whole message of redemption, and here, this psalm, when we sing it together in various psalters as well, it speaks about the life of sanctification, about the life of longing after God, the life of desiring to commune with the Lord. There's much instruction in that every day and also at the time of the Lord's Supper. And then it's addressed for the sons of Korah. Now, the sons of Korah were musical leaders in the temple in the Old Testament time. So indeed, no doubt, that this psalm as well was sung often in temple worship, as the people would gather together and they would sing, maybe not with the same tune that we do, of course, in our Psalter book, but they would sing these same words again and again as the people of God. Now, if actually you look at the psalm, you see a couple different themes running through it. Also, Psalm 43 as well, but here, Psalm 42. And one of the themes is a person who is downcast and mourning and disquieted. That means anxious and troubled. The psalmist or the person was going through deep emotional ways. And he was wondering what to do with that pain and with that emotion that he was going through. And by the grace of God in faith, he answers really his own trouble by saying, I shall yet praise Him, that is the Lord, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's saying, as it were, even though I'm going through times of trial, it is God who is my health. It is God who is my strength. It is God who can help me and who can assist me in all my various circumstances of life. But then there is also this theme, isn't there? And that's what we're going to focus on this morning with God's help. This theme of longing, of panting, of desiring, of hankering after, with the soul after the living God. Now the author, indeed, was very likely David. We know that from the style of this particular psalm, and we know that there are many times that David too, he was going through times that would have made his soul long and pant in circumstances. A time when Absalom was seeking to dethrone him and push him away, his own son, from his throne. Or the time maybe when Saul was pursuing him in the mountains like a partridge. But as the psalmist writes these words, he employs, by the Spirit's guidance, a metaphor, a picture of a deer that is apparently running and is thirsty. As the hart, as the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The deer is longing after water. It may be that the deer is running from hunters. Maybe the deer is being pursued by other animals. Psalter 116's suggestive language paraphrases it this way as they catch the sense of these words as well. As pants the hart for cooling streams when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for thee and thy refreshing grace. This is very clear, though. The deer in this psalm, in this picture, it needed water. And it didn't need just any water, congregation. It didn't need still and standing water. But it needed water brooks. It needed cool, refreshing, running water. Panted after water because it had tasted that refreshing water before, that satisfying nature of the water before. And so you can picture this deer, can't you, in your mind? And this is what the psalmist is seeking that the reader may picture. Running and leaping and bounding for the water brooks, panting. And in fact, this word panting, some commentators even suggest that it was like a noisy pining, maybe somewhat like a horse whinny when it whinnies for water, when it smells water. This deer is longing for these water brooks. And now David says this. He says, that is what my soul is like. As the hart, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so, just like that, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David says, I'm pining for God. I'm thirsting for God. I'm longing for God. He's like living, refreshing water, life-giving water for my soul. I've tasted of His sweetness before. I long to taste of it again. David's longing, congregation, was real. Even though he paints a picture here of a deer, He says it's not the deer that's important. He says, this is real in my soul, this longing. And there were many reasons why David panted and longed after God. We do know this, that David's sins troubled him, and so he panted after God. Just look at all the collection of psalms that David wrote, dear congregation, and in just about every single psalm that David wrote, you find this theme of confession of sin. David realized that he was a sinner. And sometimes he speaks about the sin of the nation. And sometimes he speaks about personal sins as well. And so for all that ongoing sin, also for himself personally in his life, he knew he needed constant washing. He knew he needed constant refreshing. He knew he needed the constant living waters of God. So longs my soul after thee, O God. Not just my body, not just longing for a glass of cold water, but my soul is longing and thirsting after God. The long arm of God's law, it convicted him. In Psalm 51, we too sing with David, I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. His sin of breaking the law, of transgressing God's covenant, of provoking God to his face, made him long after God's forgiving grace. God's law, like an arrow, congregation, like a hunter's arrow pierces a deer, pierced David, and it convicted him. And so he longs for God, because he knew that it wasn't his pain that could save him, or his own sorrow that can save him. It was only God, it was only the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who could save David and bless him. And this is the best way, my dear congregation, to come to the table of the Lord. Yes, we come with gratitude. Oh, yes, we come remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners. But the spiritual posture of our souls ought to be longing and panting after God. I too, God, have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. The Lord's Supper form, we read it last week, says, we do not come to this table to testify that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary. In other words, it's exactly the opposite of that. We seek our life and our salvation outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. That's how we come to the table of the Lord, congregation, rightly. Not focusing on us, but realizing who we are and longing and panting for him as convicted as needy sinners. He had a reason to pant after God because his sins troubled him. And then too, David had difficult circumstances at times that wasn't particularly attached to a particular sin. There's different times that he went through, different occasions in his life, as we all do, and we can't say, well, it's this sin or that sin that brought on this circumstance. Sometimes it's connected with a particular sin, but sometimes we can go through various and difficult times like David did. And David knew that it was only the Lord who could sustain him, only the Lord who could uphold him when all the waves and billows, as we read here in Psalm 42, of God's providence overwhelmed him. It is only then that God too can be our help and can be our strength and the health of our countenance. When he's being chased by Saul, when he's being seeking to be dethroned by Absalom, his own son, his own family circle. Yet, he longs for God. These difficulties, they drew him and they brought him to God. Dear congregation, I hope too that whatever circumstance we are going through, because we all go through a multitude of circumstances, that we may see these things in our lives as the hand of God, and that God is using them to press us unto Him. The worst thing that we can ever do with the providences of God is to kick against the pricks, to say, Lord, this is wrong. Congregation, even though sinful things can be done, everything is right in the Lord's world. And we live in His world. This is not ours. And so let us submit to His providence and let the difficulties of life, the waves and the billows, bring us to Him as longing, panting sinners. This longing and this panting, this thirsting was real for David. It was not imagined. Just like the deer was in real need, it didn't imagine it. So David says, just that same way, my need too, my thirst, my longing is real. And what a blessing, dear congregation, it is when we experience that real need. It's a blessing when God opens our eyes to our need and that we seek His divine help, who is the only comfort in life and in death. And then too, David had a reason to pant and to long after God, because he knew the satisfying, gracious joy that God gave him when he would drink deeply out of the wells of salvation. Just read through the book of Psalms, congregation, and you find again and again and again, oftentimes in this exact same psalm, David going through pain. But then oftentimes his psalms, they end in joy, don't they? He had been through this before, and he was going through it again. And he knew the joy that there was in the Lord, even though he was longing and he was pining and he was panting. He knew the satisfying joy that is in God. And so too, maybe, am I speaking to a soul who has drifted this morning, who maybe doesn't experience the joy now, but knew of it one time? Well, my dear congregation, if we knew of it one time, even if that was in a weak way, not a strong, a powerful way, God can bring us there again. But we must come as needy, longing, repenting, believing sinners at His feet, longing for that joy. Just like the deer longs after the water brooks, so longs my soul after Thee, O God. And so this need, first of all, therefore, was real. But then secondly, David, he had an exclusive desire, didn't he? Listen to the words. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Four times in two verses, David makes it very clear that he is longing for God and for God alone. Nothing else would satisfy him. It was God or nothing for David. He longed and he panted after Him, congregation, exclusively. Well, we may say, isn't this being too presumptuous? Isn't it reaching a little too high? After all, David's just a mere sinner. And God is the holy and the majestic and the King of heaven and earth. God is God and God alone. Should we not just ask for a little crumb from the Master's table? After all, we're just mere sinners. And we shouldn't ask for too much. Maybe asking for God Himself is just being presumptuous. Not at all, congregation, not at all. David is doing the exact same thing that Peter did when he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, the Lord said to him and to all the disciples, "Will you also go away?" And Peter looked right at the Master and said, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." In other words, "Blessed Savior, it is Thee and Thee alone that I need. I can't be satisfied with anything else. It is the Lord and His righteousness." Or like the Greeks, certain Greeks, we are told in John 12 and 21, who came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Not a miracle of Jesus, not an aspect of what He does, but we would see Jesus Himself. The psalmist here, he's coming with the spirit of John Newton when he penned these words, "Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He Himself will bid thee pray, has bid thee pray, therefore will not tell thee nay. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for His grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Asking for God, congregation, and longing after God is not asking too much. It's doing the right thing. "When shall I come before God? My soul longs after God. It pants after God." Do you do that this morning? Do you long after God in Jesus Christ? Do you long after His Son? After His righteousness? And to partake of His ordinance? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, congregation, after His righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's His promise. That's His word. First of all, he longed after God. And then secondly, too, the psalmist, he longed after the living God. He makes that very clear as he writes these words, "My soul longs after the living God." And he's writing that in contrast to all the dead heathen gods that he knew were like stagnant pools of water that could only infect his spiritual being and cause him in the end spiritual death. David, he wrote in Psalm 115 about the heathen gods. He says, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." But then he goes on, doesn't he? And he says, "But our God, the living God, is in the heavens, and He does whatsoever He pleases." He says, it is not only God that I need, but it is the living God. I don't want the gods of this world. I know that they can't satisfy me. But I long after the living God, who is the one who is the well of life. Do we long, congregation, after this living God as well? And His living Son? The one who said to the woman at the well, you remembered the Lord Jesus Christ, He was engaged in dialogue with that woman as He sat there on the well. And He Himself was weary. And they got into this discussion about water, drawing water out of the well. And He said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," this physical water, this earthly water, this regular water, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him," Christ goes on to say, "shall be in him as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." He says when we long after that living water, Christ taketh residence in our soul. And it's like this fountain of everlasting life that resides right here in this dry, in this parched, and in this thirsty land. And this is the living God, the living water that the psalmist could not do without. He had to come to the streams of this living water. He longed and he panted after this living water. Do we too, congregation, long and pant after this living water? Have we come to see indeed how that all the dead heathen gods of this world, whatever form that may take, and the heart of the natural man, our own heart as well, as John Calvin said, is like a factory of idols. It's just deadness spiritually. And we know that that can't satisfy. We understand that. It's foolishness that we, of course, keep trying to go there for satisfaction. But we long for this living water, these water brooks. Is that the reality of your soul? Well, then, he says this morning, come to my table and be refreshed by my grace. But then thirdly, the psalmist, he desired to appear before God. My soul thirsteth for God, verse 2. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? He is not talking, congregation, here about the end of the world. Nor is David here talking about the end of his life. But David, he was talking about coming into the presence of God by faith and appearing before God that way. We come into the presence of God and before His smiling countenance when we approach His holy altar in a spiritual way, and we come into His presence and draw near into His presence by faith. Yes, of course, in a general way, God is everywhere present and we are always in His presence. But here David is talking about the presence of faith, of coming near to God by His mercies and through gracious faith. You see, the psalmist, David, he knew something of the truth of Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. At the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lad of His inheritance. And David knew that when he came as a poor and needy sinner into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, as it were, by faith, he knew that that pleased God. Because the Lord's portion is His people. This is pleasing to God. And if the Lord was pleased, the psalmist says, then I'm pleased too. Because it's His pleasure and it's His happiness that I long for and that I seek for. And I seek to honor and to glorify Him with all that I do. Do we long, congregation, to come into His presence? Is there times in our life, maybe in even quiet times during the day, maybe even driving the car, maybe sitting listening to a sermon, maybe reading a godly book or meditating upon God in the night watches, as the psalmist says in another place? When you've come before God and say, Lord, I don't know to whom else shall I go. Thou art everything. Thou hast the words of eternal life. I've tried the things of the world to my shame, and they don't satisfy. It is only God in Jesus Christ who satisfies. I thirst for Thee, O God. And maybe you say, well, I wish I had more assurance of that. Congregation, the Lord's Supper is one means of many that the Lord has instituted to strengthen our assurance. We don't come, I say it again, to this table to confess a high level of assurance. But we come as empty, longing, thirsting souls into the presence of God with His people. And so I ask us, will the Lord see you? Appear in His presence around His table and among His people here today? Or, dear congregation, will He witness you making an excuse? I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough assurance. I don't feel right. What will my family members think? My dear congregation, anyone who thinks it's right, anyone who thinks it's safer, anyone who thinks it's better for a hungry sinner to stay away from the Lord's Supper is thinking, and I tell you in love, like an ungodly person. There is nothing the devil wants more than to keep his people away from his word and away from his ordinances. And will we go the way of Baal? Will we go the way of the wicked deceiver of our souls? Or will we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does not the psalmist and his expression of faith move us? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You can feel, can't you, in those very words. He's not saying, you know, when shall this happen? Is this going to be some time and I'll sit and wait? No, he's longing. He's pining for this, to come and appear before God. He wants to do the right thing to please the Lord. He had to come and to make an appearance before God. My dear congregation, I say to you in love this morning, choose you this day whom you will serve. If Baal be God, well then follow him. But I pity your soul. But if God be God, then follow him. And follow him also in his word when he says, do this, my child, my poor, trembling child, do this in remembrance of me. May God grant us to do that. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, strengthen our soul and the inner man. Grant that we too may long after thee as the deer longs after the water brooks, so may our soul long after the living God. Bless us now, O Lord, in thy tender mercy, as we turn to read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. May our souls be encouraged in the Lord, and may thou use this testimony of the broken body and the shed blood symbolized in the signs and seals of the sacraments also to testify of thy great mercies to wretched, undeserving sinners in our midst. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.